Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello, Ben.
How's it going? Are you recovered from our like very fun and exciting trip through the Midwest this weekend?
Yeah, I'm recovered. That was such a good time. You know, it's like recovering after a party, so it's like you wake up like, what are you complaining about? Get to it. But the truth is, it was just a lot of sleeping, and I woke up fresh as a daisy.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, we had so much fun. Thank you again to everyone who showed up in St. Paul, Milwaukee, and Chicago. It was like, all three of you guys were amazing audiences. We really had a blast. It was so wonderful, and we saw some familiar faces. It's one of the perks of being back out on the road. And guess what? We're going back out on the road again next week. It's already next week. And this is going to be extra cool because we didn't really connect these dots until basically like a day ago. We are going to be spending St. Patrick's Day in Philadelphia, okay? So if you are interested in spending St. Patty's Day with us, come to our Philly show. That's going to be on St. Patrick's Day, which is March 17th, which is also next Thursday. If you miss us there, there are still some tickets left in D.C. D.C. is, I think, very close to selling out. That's going to be the next night. And then the night after that, we got Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So Philly, D.C., Pittsburgh, those are all happening next week. You're running out of time. Those will be great shows. We will have an update later in the week, I'm sure, or maybe early. I don't know when we're going to have it, but we will have an update on what shows we'll be covering. If you want to know what they are, of course, listen to our little announcements here at the top of the show, but also check our social media. We will have that up as soon as we know, because Bravo has a million shows out right now. So many shows. One of the shows that we're going to talk about tonight on Take a Seat, which is on Green Room, is, of course, the new Candy and the Gang. So be sure to join us tonight. Green Room, it's a Spotify app. You don't have to be a Spotify member, but if you are a Spotify person, it just makes it easier. That's going to be tonight at 7 o'clock. On the West Coast, 10 o'clock on the East Coast. So we'll talk about Candy and the Gang and probably a lot more other things too. And we also have some really awesome, I'm actually wearing some of our merch right now. You can't see it because it's not Crappens on Demand today, but go to crappensmerch.com. We're seeing more and more people wearing it at the live shows, which is super cool. So thank you everyone for supporting us there. And you know, tag us. If you get some merch, tag us in a photo and we'll put you on the old gram. So those are the big announcements. Are there any other big announcements we have, Ronnie?
I think that's it. After those cities, we're going to be at the end of the month into April, we're going to be in Denver, which is going to be super fun. And then San Francisco's the next or two nights after that sold out, and then Detroit. So Detroit, Columbus, Cleveland. I mean, it's going to be crazy. So go get your tickets. Thanks for coming. I don't know what to ask.
Actually, there is something we should mention. I think we mentioned it last week, but in case we forgot, we were just added to the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, which is like Moon Tower Just for Laughs, all part of the same big fun thing. That's going to be in Austin. So that same week that we're finishing out our tour in Dallas, Texas. We're going to be doing Houston and Dallas at the end of April. But we are now adding Austin onto that mix as well, because we'll be doing the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. You can buy a pass for the festival, or you can just buy for specifically our show, whatever you want. But the festival is crazy. There's so many big comedians there, like people from SNL, like just huge, huge names. So it's probably just worth it to just throw yourself into all that comedy. But it's super cool that we're part of that. And that's going to be in your hometown, Ronnie.
It sure is. Yeah, I'm excited to do that. And, you know, of course, my mom's like, oh, my God. My friends have heard of that, you know, so that's exciting. So everybody, welcome to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Reunion Part 2.
Yeah, wow, what a reunion. let's just dive into it, shall we? We started up in the middle of the cliffhanger was that that Lisa had invited Whitney to the Fresh Wolf event, even though she had said that Jack and Henry had come up with the guest list and made it seem almost like there were, it was like, if they didn't have you on that list, you were not getting into this Fresh Wolf event held in an empty barn.
Right. And Heather was saying, oh, I guess they just didn't want you there, Jen. I guess the kids don't like you, Jen. And yeah. Lisa was kind of full of crap, too. Of course, Lisa was saying, I invited Whitney because I wanted her to say that I'm a mother. And I wanted her to say that I'm a good person. Or whatever bullshit she was spewing. But we all know Lisa invited her to talk to Cameron on camera to get dirt on Mary to use against Mary. I mean, it was so ham-handed. Yeah. And hilarious that she even did that. So Lisa is now, and we start with Andy going, so Jack and Henry did the guest list for your event, right? Why would they invite Whitney but not Jen? And Lisa's like, they didn't invite Whitney. I invited Whitney. Which, of course, goes against everything she's already said.
Exactly. She's already like pawned off all the responsibility to her sons all season long. And so then, but then they're like, well, but then if you invited Whitney, like what's up with Jen? And she goes, well, you know what? You know, when Jen came to the photo shoot, like we got into a big, things got very heated. And then like she called me in the car and then Henry heard her yelling at me and he started crying because I was very upset. And I love Jen Shah, as controversial as it is. I love this controversial person, this person who's just built on a snowball of controversy. I love her.
I love the idea of Henry just curled up in the car, like all the way in the corner against the seat, you know, the seat and the door, just curling up like, Mom, why are they being so mean to you, Mom? But in his defense, I've almost cried when Jen is screaming and yelling at people too, because that's not easy. Okay. Yeah. That's not an easy trip to take.
And Jen doesn't, there's actually not a lot about Jen this episode. So she's really, you know, she pokes herself in wherever she can. If she finds an opening, she'll take it. So she's like, well, you don't have to add controversial to love Jen Shah. I mean, it's, you know, it's controversial to love you too. She does her old classic, like, let me spin it and put it onto you now. Well, actually, no, normally it's let me spin it and put it onto me. Like, how do you think I feel? But now she inverts it and it's like, well, it's controversial to love you too. There.
Yeah, but like you have to add a warning to things like Jen Shah. You know what I mean? It's like they have to put warnings on spray paint so you'll know that you're going to get high when you're near it. You know, there are just certain things. There's a reason for warnings, okay, Jen? And you've earned yours, ma'am.
Yeah.
So Lisa's like, Jen, I've been a great friend to you, Jen, okay? Okay. And she's like, I mean, Heather doesn't say, I'm sorry, Jen, I love being your friend, but ... She's like, and Heather goes, yeah, well, it is getting me a lot of heat. You know, they're canceling me. Just kidding. I mean, that's what she's basically saying. Like, I'm afraid of getting canceled because I'm friends with you.
Yeah. And Lisa's like, listen, I didn't mean it that way. I'm sorry if that's how it landed. So then Andy's like, well, why did you lie to her about your kids doing the guest list for your event? I didn't lie. I just didn't tell the truth and said a different thing that wasn't the truth. It wasn't a lie.
I didn't lie just to her. I lied to everybody. Doesn't that count for something? Oh, gosh. So then we immediately cut to clip of Jack put the guest list together. It was his event.
And she's like, I added Whitney on and I had mixed feelings because John thought it was a good idea. You know, he was just like, keep trying to be friends with her. Keep trying to be friends. So now Lisa is like quietly, like not really answering this. Like, why did you not put Jen on? She just is sort of now making it look like she was being the bigger person by putting Whitney on the list.
Right. And Meredith's like, I have one question, and it's very important. At that lunch, when I said, Jen, not everyone gets invited to every function, did I have your back at that lunch, Lisa Barlow? Or did I not?
Your Honor, yes, she did. Yes, she did.
It's so funny. Lisa literally turns to Andy and goes, yes. Yes, you did. She did. She did, Andy. She did.
It was literally an episode of Judge Judy. And by the way, I have to say, I thought Meredith did very well this episode. Meredith really, I think she kind of destroyed Lisa this episode. I mean, Lisa flounders at reunions, it seems. But Meredith really came. Her lawyer skills were present. She was like, she's calm when she needs to be calm. She cries when she needs to cry. And she asks like questions that are like, you know, like help her win her case. She really killed it.
I like how you say she's very lawyerly and then go, she cries when she cries. She cries when she needs
TV
to.
Lawyer.
Just like every
TV
good lawyer. Yeah.
Like if you're on picket fences, you're killing it.
If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
She's picket fence quality. Maybe not like U.S. Supreme Court quality, but like if she were, you know, going up against Five-ish Finkel, you know? I think she'd do
yes,
well.
Also good wife. You know, Five-ish was a good wife lawyer
she was on
as
good
well.
Wife?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
before he passed, they have a lot of great lawyer guests.
CBS,
you know, it's a very high quality yeah. show.
CBS does a good job casting TV lawyers, I have to say. I would love Kathy Baker to be on one of the house. Oh, you have a thing with Kathy Baker, don't you?
I love Kathy Baker. Kathy Baker was also, I'm sure she's been a lawyer in something. Or maybe she was a judge on The Good Wife. I'm sure she's been on The Good Wife.
What,
Kathy Baker.
Didn't she sass you one time?
Well, you know, I was her waiter one time, and right. I said, you know, kind of after, not after service, but after the, I didn't start with this, is what I'm saying. So at some point I was like, oh, hey, you know, I really love you. I love your work. And she was like, oh, thanks. And looked away. I was like, please, Kathy Baker, let's stop acting like everywhere you go, people are tackling you. Okay. This did not happen to you at a Home Goods. So drop the axe.
Oh, God. I like that story. I feel like we bring out that story once every 3 years, and it makes me laugh as hard every single time. Kathy Baker giving you attitude. Of all people, Kathy Baker. Like, listen, ma'am, you could be easily replaced with Nancy Travis any moment now.
Yeah, which I get it. Like, you know, as a waiter, you're not supposed to do that. I get it. But, well, I mean, it's Kathy Baker. What am I going to just pretend I don't love Kathy? I never said it to Marissa Tomei or any of those people. You know,
I did it to Laura Linney, Kathy your favorite. Baker. I did it to Laura Linney once.
Oh,
I brought
gosh.
Her
Laura
I brought
Linney.
Her, I brought her coffee. And I was like, by the way, because it was 1998, I was an intern on Conan, on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. And it was my first day, and I had to bring Laura Linney, who was a guest, a coffee. And so I brought her the coffee. I said, by the way, I loved you in The Truman Show. And she's like, thank you so much. So just goes to show, some actresses are classy.
Guess what? Kathy Baker has not been on The Good Wife that I can tell. So that's, you know, full
Nor
circle.
Has she been in The Truman Show. So anyway.
Yeah, so suck it, Kathy Baker. But anyway, I still love Kathy Baker.
I love her. She can do
I guess I should rephrase that to my bad, Kathy Baker. Okay. Enjoy your freshly made focaccia bread and couscous. So, Jenny, Whitney, and Heather accused Lisa of being a master manipulator. Why didn't you stand up for Lisa? And Lisa goes, because nobody does. Nobody does. You know? And she, Lisa, by the way, is just scrolling through her phone at this point.
Andy, I have another important question. Lisa, in 1999, when you trying to return a CD to The Wiz, as in Nobody Beats The Wiz, and they said, the window of returns has passed, and I said, actually, it's a leap year, we're still in the window. Did I have your back at The Wiz? Did I have your back at
The
Wiz?
She did. She did, Your Honor, Andy. She did. She did. So Jenny is like, well, I didn't really know her. And Meredith says, well, you knew about me enough to make a character assassination on me. You terrorized my character.
I'm sorry, I'm really cracking up. I think the Kathy Baker stuff has now put me in, like, the Kathy Baker and this coffee, I'm like, I'm in a different place now.
Did it lift you up, the Kathy?
The fact that we have to now do, like, an hour of Meredith Marks impersonations in this foundation of Kathy Baker is going to be crazy. So anyway.
So,
yeah, you just go. Just go. Please go. Because I'm like, I got lost.
So Lisa's like, after watching the show, it's when she said that stuff. I didn't tell her anything about show, Meredith. And she goes, well, I did not think you said something. I did not accuse you of that, okay? But the question is, why didn't you defend Lisa?
I like that. I like that more from Meredith voice into Andy. So Andy's asking Jenny, like, why didn't you defend Lisa? And Jenny does this like very quiet, I do defend her, which is like, no, you don't defend her at all.
Well, when they accused her of being a master manipulator, why didn't you stand up for her?
And then we see a clip of like Heather and Whitney in the van being like, she's a master manipulator and she's ridiculous. And she chainsawed off the head of a person. You know, that's what we heard. And Jenny's just like, mm-hmm.
Why the fuck would Lisa have told you anything? Because she's saying she's a master manipulator and she has all the information, and she won't tell me any of the information about this Meredith's dad's memorial service or whatever. Why would she tell you anything? You've been coming for her for two seasons. I love when Heather makes it like, Lisa, yeah, why won't you just open up to me?
I know.
And then continues to come for her.
Well, because Heather's whole, she has like that warped, like kind of perfect for the Real Housewives mentality of like, I'm going to come really hard for you because you annoy me. But if you're open to me, then like, it's almost like you're blackmailing, not blackmailing, but basically saying like, if you're open with me and you share shit with me, then I'm going to be nice to you again. But if not, I'm going to come for you.
It's like information is the pack of cigarettes in jail. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So Andy's like, Lisa, Jennifer from Santa Barbara says she got whiplash going upstairs telling on people to marry and pinning it all on poor innocent Whitney. And Whitney's like, yeah, you didn't really tell her right what I said.
So Lisa goes, well, when I first went downstairs, she was in the doorway talking to Rob Hart. And the very first thing I asked her was, hi, I've seen the text messages and a lot of stuff. And like, can we talk about that? And she goes, why? We're good. And then I was like, then the conversation started and I asked her a lot of questions. Like, do you like Fresh Wolf? Does your son need any beauty products? You know, and I asked if she smoked pot because in her church, you're not supposed to drink or do drugs. I asked a lot of questions.
And Heather's laughing. She's like, oh my God, like, do you smoke weed? Well, it sounds like you had a lot of important conversations off camera. Because Lisa was saying, well, they cut this part out. You know, they cut all... Lisa keeps saying that over and over. You know, like, there's a whole other show that Lisa's been starring in that nobody has been shooting, apparently. And she's like, you know what? Two. That's the only time I said that. Two. There's one time with Mary and one time with Meredith. Two, Your Honor. Two times I said it.
All right. Let's talk about the memorial. When you spoke to Meredith on that Tuesday, you said, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know you're in the middle of it. And you said, thank you, or something like that. Meredith, you didn't disagree with her. And Meredith goes, well, she said, I know that you're with your family, so I thought she knew I was dropping off my toddler at daycare, Brooksy.
Why would I answer the phone at my father's memorial? But when I called Meredith to tell her about Sharif, she said, hold on, I just stepped out of my father's memorial. They must have cut that part. Two times. Only two times, Andy.
Like, we all saw it on tape. She did not say that. And yeah. Meredith's like, I did not see that 100,000%. I did not say that.
I was physically in Vail. My father is buried in Aspen, and those are two different locations. If you want to know more about it, I suggest you go back to season 2 or 3 of Southern Charm and listen to Landon and Austin flirt about Vail. That's a deep cut for everyone.
But you did say that, and then that's when I put you on speaker. And you know what? I said, oh my God, I feel terrible because I interrupted the memorial because you told me that before you were on speaker.
She's like, I did.
At some point, someone just has to tell Lisa Barlow, you may just be remembering it incorrectly. Because sometimes you like think you hear something. Sometimes you assume something, so you just hear it. Like, it's amazing what the brain will do. Like, you will, if you in your mind are like, if right now I was like, Ronnie is at Whole Foods, and I'm just very convinced Ronnie's at Whole Foods, and I'm like, hey, Ronnie, we should start the podcast. And you were like, okay, I'm ready. In my mind, I would have heard him say, okay, I'm ready, but I'm just at Whole Foods first. Like, a brain can do that, you know? Is this a bad illustration of psychology?
No, I mean, look, the perfect illustration is us with notes on these shows. I never actually write down what's happening. But even by the time I'm typing it, 2 seconds after it literally happened on TV, it's totally different. So, yeah.
That's actually 100% correct, because a lot of times if I'm trying to get like a direct quote, I will usually get like halfway through the sentence and I'll have to like pause and go back 10 seconds. And then when I go back 10 seconds, I'm like, what did I write? They literally did not say these words. I mean, it's crazy what someone says versus what you hear are two different things. And that's a very human thing. And I just wish that Lisa at some point would stop digging in her heels and just say, you know what? Like, I knew you were there for your memorial. I just must have assumed you had said that. And I can't believe I clearly misheard you. I can't believe I've created this mountain out of a molehill, and I'm like mortified.
Well, she's so flummoxed because she's believing what anybody is telling her to believe. And she's done it all season. You know, like Heather was saying, well, why aren't you mad at Meredith? Why aren't you mad at Meredith? So then she's like, wait, I am mad at Meredith. And Meredith hasn't been there. You're right, Meredith hasn't been there. And they've, you know, even this night that they're giving Lisa shit about this entire episode, this dinner, the Cinco de Mayo dinner, where Lisa lost it. I mean, even then, they were making Lisa believe that she was doing good. You know, they were like, good for you, Lisa. You kicked ass. And Heather was saying, this is the most I've ever liked you, Lisa. And so to have that all come on TV and now she's the biggest villain ever, she's like, wait a minute. I thought I was doing good. She's just completely, I guess, flummoxed is the best word I can cut. She's fucked. She's fucked in her head.
Well, I think she's just like dug in a hole and she doesn't really know how to dig out of it right now. And so she's just sort of like, she's not even digging deeper. She's just sort of like doing some weird like dance, like she's at Woodstock. She's like, oh my God, I love this song. And she just like has her arms out spinning.
Yeah, peanuts dancing is a very good way to say it. So, because it's the same thing over and over. You know, it's like 5 seconds of crazy that's just on a loop.
I was thinking of a different Woodstock, but I like actually both Woodstock imageries. You're thinking of Woodstock the bird. I'm thinking like Woodstock the music festival, but I think they both work.
I'm thinking Woodstock the bird from Peanuts. Just that Peanuts dancing. That is kind of Salt Lake City's reunion. You know, it is the Peanuts just standing in place and doing their crazy dance move and then just doing it over and over for 3 fucking hours.
I mean, nothing could really sum up Lisa Barlow like Charlie Brown trying to kick the football, right? Like that's Lisa Barlow in a little cartoon gif.
And Heather's kind of Lucy-ish standing behind it, behind the advice stand. You know, it's like she's got an advice stand where she's charging you 5 cents for advice, but she's really just trying to make you look stupid the whole fucking time.
That's actually very true. Now, who's Peppermint Patty? But now the other thing is
that girl who chops watermelons on Top Chef.
Chefs need respect. Commercials. Here comes one right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Lisa goes, well, you both heard me say, I feel horrible. I just interrupted her dad's memorial because you told me that. I'm not lying about that. And Meredith is like, no, I didn't. I did not say it. So Andy's like trying to suppress a big smile and laughter as he goes, well, it was a major misunderstanding that led to some horrible, brutal interactions that we were very happy to exploit.
Yes. And so basically they just keep fighting the same thing. I did it because you said it to me. You know, it's like, why would you answer at your father's memorial? You know, that's what I was thinking. And Meredith says, you know, I know that that's not true because I was in the bath in a hotel in Vail, not at the house in Vail when you call. I mean, Meredith is just, you know, she loves a bath. And then she's like, and then the second time, enough. Taylor Armstrong, enough.
All right, we need to break for lunch, all right, because this is a lot.
Meredith, I didn't call you because I feel like it would be better to say it to everybody at once, like all at once where I was. But do you know that I love you? you know that I love? Can I touch? Can I touch how much I love you? Can I touch my love for you? Can I touch?
I don't know what I know, and I don't want to hear the excuses, Lisa. She's like, okay, we're done. Oh, okay. We are done.
Okay, where's my husband? Where's John Barlow? Where's John Barlow?
So they go off, and Lisa's now, she's telling her producer, she goes into her trailer, and she's telling her producer in the trailer, on a hot mic, again,
you guys knew what you were doing when you put that in there. Like, I was on a rant, okay? I just think that, like, what you guys did, but adding that in there, like, just gave them all a reason to fucking say, like, that's who you are. That's who you are. I'm done. I'm done. You let them narrate me. You let them narrate me. And let me tell you something else. If you ever put any more footage of me on a hot mic onto this show, I am leaving right at once, okay?
So then who tries to come in? And she's like, hey, you brought me to life, I run my mad, leave for my mad, to the camera guys. So then in Heather's trailer, Heather's like, I mean, it's like the Twilight Zone out there. Lisa's like, oh, I had a small outburst where I annihilated my best friend's character and said the most awful things, but we're just going to move on like it never happened. And then Dre, her business partner, is there, and she's like, yeah, I feel bad for Meredith. What is Dre doing there?
I know. What is, okay. Yeah, what
is this, what a new car earned you?
I know, exactly. So then Meredith FaceTimes Seth, and he's like, hey, yeah, oh my God, your mascara is not running. You don't look like you were crying too hard. Were you too busy staring at Whitney's boobs? God, I'd love to motorboat her right now.
I was actually crying. Thankfully, these feathers that Brooksy hot glued onto me caught every single tear.
And they each grew a beautiful little tree. It's the beginning of a fairy tale.
So then Jen, meanwhile, is in her trailer with Coach. And she's like,
we were the topic of me doing my, like, we were on the topic of me doing my apology tour. And then Meredith got emotional and apologized for the way she treated me. And then said, like, there were a lot of things going on in her life. Just like I had a lot of things going on in my life. So I guess, like, again, season one, I'm totally exonerated.
And then back on set, Andy's like, so, baby gorgeous, how do you think it's going?
She's like, I think it's going great. I can't wait to get into more, Andy. Andy.
Well, this afternoon's going to be rough.
Great. Hi.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Cullen. Okay, guys, there's something about Mary. By show of hands, who's ever gotten cum in their bangs? I am! I am!
Also, who here has received mean texts from Mary?
So everyone, except for Jenny, because Mary's not even going to bother texting Jenny. So
Andy laughs. He goes, everyone but Jenny. She probably blocked your number.
Hey, Meredith. Why'd you get a mean text for Mary?
She's, well, that night that Jenny threw a glass at Mary, or at the floor near Mary, she was mad that I didn't check in with her after that glass throw.
Well, Jenny, everyone seems to be intimidated by Mary. Why aren't you?
And she's like, I'm not intimidated by anybody. I have a really high confrontational tolerance, and if you can't handle it, that is not my problem. You'll be in the hospital with a goddamn broken rib.
And so Lisa's like, I'm not afraid of Mary. I'm not afraid of Mary.
Yeah, I just want to make that clear. And Heather's like, yeah, you know what? Mary doesn't have that, you know? Like, she doesn't have that confrontational, you know, tolerance like Jenny has. And we've all learned to navigate that. I'm kind of. And Whitney's like, yeah, I finally learned. I learned to say no. I finally learned. And Heather's like, oh, yes, you did. But why did no one stand up for Heather when people body shamed her and said she drank too much? Which, you know, that was funny. Those were some funny times.
So Lisa says, well, everything was already so chaotic. And Whitney believes that by not going on the private plane, that was her standing up for Heather. You know, it was like her little protest. So then Andy asks,
okay, so question. So to Meredith and to Whitney and to Jen, you've all been to Mary's church. Is that church a cult? What do you think?
Well, I didn't see anything at the church that would lead me to believe it was a cult. But what I did see was many people who welcomed a beautiful little baby named Brooks into their fold, and I'll be forever grateful for their welcoming of my toddler.
Well, I didn't think it was a cult when I went, but I question it now that I don't like Mary anymore. That's for sure, Andy. Jen? Every church is a cult to some extent. There, I said it.
Which is kind of what I've said. Although I do think that Mary, you know, Mary takes it to another level. But yeah.
I have a question, Andy, if I may interrupt. Lisa, when we were 5 years ago, we were playing a game with my toddler, Brooksy, where he said, here's the church, here's steeple, and guess what's inside? And you said it was pews. And then they said, no, it's people. And I said, no, it's pews. Did I have your back at that moment, Lisa?
She did, Andy. She explained to me that there's a church, there's a steeple. You open it up. Please don't label any of these people, which are actually fingers. Whoops, I did it again. I did it again, Andy. I did it again.
I could have humiliated you and told you that the fingers were people, but I chose not to. So again, I'm a better friend right now.
So Jen's like, yeah, and I mean, it was a Mother's Day tribute only to Mary. I mean, they were like losing their minds for Mary. They were there only for Mary. Which is funny. You have like a service that's a Mother's Day tribute for only yourself.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, yeah, it kind of is, you know. So Andy's like, Whitney, you think that Mary claims to be God? And she says, well, I don't think that she thinks she's a God. It's just like, if any one of us here were God, then what would we even be doing here? Because God's like, not here. He's someplace else. So, there. I finally stood up for myself.
That's why she doesn't like Joan Osborne.
God can't be one of us because why would he be on the bus? I don't understand this song.
God doesn't rent, Joan.
So Jenny is like, Jenny is annoying because Jenny asked this, why is Mary's church so interesting to everyone here? I'm like, Jenny, why is any of this interesting? Okay. Cause it's like, I'll tell you why it's interesting. Okay. Cause first of all, it's significantly more interesting than your fake storyline about, sister wives. Okay. Second of all, I'll tell you why it's interesting. Because if you guys are just like friends with someone who might casually be a cult leader, that's interesting. That is like that's the definition of an interesting piece of information.
Yeah. And Heather says, well, it's because Lisa invited Cameron and made it a topic of discussion. Shrug. And then we see the clip of Cameron saying, you know, when they want money, they call church meetings and they beat you down for your money. And Lisa says, and that's why you mortgage your house.
Yeah. So Lisa's like, Cameron has nothing to do with this conversation. We can remove him, okay? We're acting like we didn't know that Mary's church was questionable. And Heather's like, well, because the Mormon church is questionable. The Mormon church doesn't even have equal rights for LGBTQ.
I mean, that's true. But Heather, again, making every single thing about her. You know, she's like, my storyline is questioning the Mormon church. Okay, Heather, we know. Yeah. So Andy's saying, we've been talking about the Mormon church for 2 years, too. So, you know, we'll bash any religion. Come on, guys. And yeah. Heather's like, yeah, you know, and they're a cult, too, possibly. Who knows? So then we move back to Cameron, which is where it was supposed to be in the first place. Heather. Thanks. Cover. And Andy's like, Lisa, there was a lot said about Cameron. And she's like, I miss him so much. And they talk about how Cameron passed away of a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm. And Lisa misses him.
Obviously is so sad and so much worse that they're even like bringing Cameron completely into this entire reunion, you know?
Yeah. And so Lisa knew him for like 5 years. So she misses him. And Andy is like, then Andy's like, Meredith, why do you think Lisa introduced you to Cameron?
Well, I'd like to ask Lisa a question before I answer that. Everyone ready? Was Cameron on the board of Foster Care Utah. And Lisa's like, Cameron was part of Foster's Freeze Utah, and they have boards on their floor. So yes, in a way, he was part of Foster Board Utah Care in a different order of words. Yes,
he was on their board. He was on their guest list.
And Whitney's like, he's not a board member. He is a supporter.
No, but he was, he was in process. He was acting as a board member, but it wasn't final because they had like 3 more weeks until it became final.
No, he was not on their board list.
And, this is so good. Now, who is on a board of Foster Care Utah? Who is it?
Yeah, it's such a... It's a weird argument that they're having about, you know, like they're basically trying to say like Lisa invited Cameron not because he's on the board of this thing, but to get this word out, right? And so
exactly
that's why they're questioning his credentials as being part of Foster Care Utah.
So this is good. So then someone posts, and I don't know who originally posted this. I can't see. I just found it on the internet. So Utah Foster Care. Before Cameron Williams' life was tragically cut short by cancer, Utah Foster Care looked forward to bringing his expertise and Silicon Slopes connection to UFC's board. Okay, so this is on their website. So I was like, oh, wow. So then Meredith tweets that out. Lisa tweeted it out. Sorry.
Yeah.
So Meredith tweets out, Lisa, I have the original version of this before you got it changed after you were caught in your lies. I will post it later if the court will allow and you don't take back your fake evidence.
Yeah. This. So and what was on Meredith's version? Was it just that it wasn't on the website?
Yeah, she said that the original version was all over Twitter already, and everyone's already seen that version. And so after the reunion, Lisa got with Utah Foster Care and said, change it! You need to change this!
Well, that, I have to say, that to me is not a smoking gun, because I think it's probably, like, if you were in line to join this board, and then that process was tragically cut short because he had this illness... You know, it's not surprising that the website did not reflect all that. You know, they probably were like, oh, well, that's too bad. They didn't probably think we should update the website. But then if there's like this controversy, it's also not crazy that Lisa would say, you know what, you should give Cameron a nod here because he was supposed to be your board or whatever. Like, it's more like the Cameron's omission from the website doesn't necessarily mean that it was a lie. Like, it's not crazy that he's not on the website. It's not a crazy thing.
Right. I think that she probably did call them and say, you need to update this because nobody believes me.
But I
also think it would be super weird for Utah Foster Care to be like, okay, we're going to lie for Lisa Barlow.
Yeah, I don't think they would lie. I actually do believe that he was probably, if the website says he was meant to be a board member, then I believe that.
All right. So they're trying to catch her in like a little white lie. It's just so, it's just so much. We're going through so many notes here because it's a reunion, right? Hmm. So it's like trying to juggle it all. Like, what do I really? Actually, I believe that. I believe Ben. Okay, I'm on Ben's side right now. It's like 12 angry men, but there's just two of us, you know, all back in the jury.
12 angry sequins. So then Lisa's like, you guys are sick. I can't believe that. Oh my God, did you hear it? They're all sick. They're all going to the hospital. It's like she falls for her own. She mishears her own idioms or metaphors. So then Whitney's like. So now
time for a gigantic folder to be pulled out. You know, she pulls out her gigantic poster board sized folder.
Yeah. And while she's doing that, Whitney's like,
I believe that. Cameron was, I believe I was invited to the event to meet Cameron and spread information to the group because Lisa's brilliant at lighting the fire and I always fall for it.
I'm like, I'm just having images of Whitney falling into a fire.
Oh no, it's a fire. I'm falling into it again. I can't help it.
Like every time they go on vacation and Lisa lights a fire, Whitney walks right into it.
Darn Lisa. Darn it. She did it to me again. Excuse me, Your Honor.
Please stand.
I have another question for Lisa. Lisa?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Did Cameron really mortgage his house and give Lee and give Mary $300,000?
I think I got the numbers.
Yes or no, please. Yes or judge. Judge?
Well, he had an expensive house when he passed, and they have footage of it. They have footage of the expensive house, and I don't want to get their numbers wrong, but he did mortgage his house, and he did give her money, maybe not $300,000, maybe more like $5. It's hard to know. It's hard to know.
You flat out told me that he did donate $300,000. You told me. Listen, it was about 10% of what Miss Barlow told me, Your Honor.
Which, by the way, 10% of $300,000 is still $30,000. That's not insignificant, right? So,
well, it's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference, right? But it's also not like, it's not insignificant, though.
Right, but she's making it sound like, you know, poor Cameron.
He lost his house.
Mortgaged his house. He lost his house by, like, he pulled a Gorga or something, you know? And that's not really what it, I mean, Lisa's full of shit. Like, I love that Lisa's on this show, but she's just full of shit and caught over and over. And that's even so now, she keeps doing this, you know, her robotic Lisa thing, where whenever she's caught, she just opens her mouth really wide. Huh?
Then closes it. Then closes it and looks away. Looks over to Andy.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Meredith goes, well, you know what? Lisa didn't correct it with the group and let everyone else believe that on worldwide television. I'm going to say hello to our friends in Tanzania. Hello there. Welcome to worldwide television.
She let me run with it right on Eurovision, Andy. It was the first time on national television I was ever almost burnt alive.
That would actually be international television.
Worldwide.
Even better.
So stupid. And then Lisa just looks at the camera like, so what? So what?
Ooh. Hold on, there's a lady outside my window. I don't know why there's a lady. Oh, and there's a guy. I think they got lost. I was very confused. I'm like, why are these people outside my window right now? It's very distracting.
It's Lisa. It's Lisa Barlow just opening her mouth really wide and then closing it again. Then opening it, then closing it again.
I was really just hoping that we were going to have like a Today Show moment. I was like, damn it, why is this not Crap Is On Demand? People could hold up signs. That's fine, lady. Just walk through the yard. That's fine. She's lost.
So, Swimming From Pool wants to know why Lisa is mad at Whitney for calling to get the story when Lisa is the one who brought Cameron on camera. And Whitney's like, exactly. You think I'm going to believe her after that catering story? I'm going to get the story from the horse's mouth.
Cut to Whitney actually with a horse trying to feed it a carrot. So there's at least
sugar cubes, Andy. That is the truth. Sugar cubes.
So Lisa now has her binder fully out and she has these glasses. She has like glasses from the far side and there's like white like pointy glasses. She's looking through.
Those are some Mad Men far side glasses.
So Lisa is like, I think it was inappropriate to do that. Like, if you want information on Mari, you don't need to go get it that way. You can get it online. Which is funny, like, that she's mad at Whitney for going up to Cameron to get information, and she'd rather her just snoop on the internet. which is, I feel like, a little bit less, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's less reliable, but when you've already invited Cameron to your event and had him talk to Meredith to say things, it's like,
right. And she had invited Whitney to that event to talk to Cameron, but she wanted it to be in her controlled environment, you know?
Yeah.
So when Whitney went off rogue to try and do it for herself, it was a problem because, of course, Lisa's going to get caught in a bunch of shit, which she did.
Yeah. So, so Lisa's like, I have got a text message. And Whitney, ever the conspiracy theorist on this show, is like, we don't know
if those are real, you could have crafted those.
Well, these are on my phone, and they're disgusting. Judge, I would like to hand over some evidence.
And Heather's partner just comes on and, like, passes the evidence to Andy. You know, she's like the bailiff. She's like the bull of this episode.
Or bull.
Was it bull? It was bull, right?
Well, it was bull and Roz. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Her real name was Roz. No, her name was Roz. Yeah. What was her name? Marsha.
No, she was the lawyer. I'm talking about the bailiff guy.
No, I know, but Roz, no, Marky Post was the lawyer, rest in peace. But Roz was the other bailiff.
Okay, Marcia. That was Night Court for anybody who's like, what the fuck Night are Court's they talking about? It's an old TV show in the 80s.
It's coming back. They're rebooting it.
You know, I don't know that I need that. I'll say that.
I don't know if I need that, although it does have a groovy theme song. And I have like the full, like, 4-minute version of it. It's great. It's great to listen to.
Wow.
Yeah. Dan Lowercat.
You could have crafted those. And Lisa's like, these aren't from a Cricut. They're from my phone. They're disgusting. So the bailiff takes the evidence to Andy. And Heather's like, I mean, why would he have you be his voice? He's gone. I don't know that he would choose you to be his representative. Okay. So Andy reads the message. I wanted to text you in case people misconstrue the truth. Whitney Rose reached out to me through Angie, and I don't know her at all, and I didn't tell her anything that happened between me and Mary. This is gross. I have to say, this is gross, and I cannot believe they're going here when the man just passed away.
I know. But they go. So Heather is like, but he did tell Meredith. He told Meredith a lot of horrible, horrible things. Horrible. And Jenny is like, but that's his decision. She didn't make him tell Meredith. So Whitney goes,
but he texted me about it. And I reached out through text. And I decided because of what Meredith told me at the cooking class and the fact that I thought it was suspicious that all of a sudden he surfaced at the Fresh Wolf event. So I knew she met him through Angie.
Why isn't Meredith getting any shit for this? Meredith was the one who ended up doing Lisa's dirty work and taking that information to Whitney anyway so that Whitney would run with it. Meredith's not getting any shit over this.
You're right. I think it's because I think Meredith started to do the shit and then I think she realized what she was doing and that's why she decided to like... That's probably why she decided to have like... to change it up because then they went off to Vale and then she had that scene with Mary where she's like, so I hear you run a cult. And Mary's like, that's ridiculous. That's what I thought. Never mind. Now we'll be best friends because I feel guilty now.
Yeah. So Lisa is, they start squabbling over what Cameron had said to Meredith. Like it's not all on camera. Mm-hmm. In the first place, right? And so Whitney's like, let me finish. And Heather's screaming, yeah, he said a lot to Meredith. That's for sure. He said a lot. And Lisa's like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. And Whitney's like, well, I knew that Lisa had met him through Angie. No, I didn't. So I got the number from Angie. And Heather's like, I'll call Angie right now.
Which was her flex to be like, Angie's my friend now, not your friend, right? So then Whitney's like...
she has a better iPhone than you, Lisa Barlow. She has the most expensive iPhone with the most storage, like you wished you had, Lisa Barlow.
So Whitney said, God, my notes are so confusing at this point because they're talking so, like, there's so much stuff. Like, whenever it's like a reunion show and when one person said, well, you said that they said that I said that those said, and then I try to write it down and I'm like, Whitney said, I don't want to get involved with you and Lisa, but a few things I heard are weighing heavily on my heart and I'd like to hear it from you. And if they are true, we need to know. Oh, I guess is that what she sent to Cameron?
Yeah, she sent a text to Cameron, saying, I don't want to bother you, but I've heard things that have hurt my head, and they also hurt my heart. P.S. Ow!
So my heart is literally on fire. I fell for it.
Sorry, she has tons of texts from him, and she's like, you can see them here, and he was ready to come out about Mary, and he tells me even in his texts. And Lisa goes, well, he was on a path for spiritual healing, okay? And Whitney continues that Mary's congregation believes that she is actually God, and later in the season, we see this, see a lady reading to Mary that she is a facsimile of God, which is like a faxed version of God. So Mary thinks that she's like God, but she sounds like this.
And if Mary is the facsimile, that makes Robert the cover page.
And he told me that he had a relationship with her.
And Heather asks if it's sexual, and she's like,
he did not say that, no.
And Andy's like, but you think they had an affair? And Heather says, yeah, I mean, not ongoing, but I think they had one. This is, you guys, this is really low, even for this fucking show. This is terrible. What are you doing? So, no, he didn't say he had a sexual relationship with her, but now you're going to assume that he did on national television. That's gross. Yeah.
But Lisa defends him and goes, no, he was engaged to Endion. He was engaged to Endion. I filmed the engagement. I filmed it. Yeah, I did that. And Whitney's like,
well, he was young when this happened, and he felt like he was taking advantage of. I wish he was here.
Like, yeah, we wish he was here because then it would mean he was alive. Like, I love that, like, it sort of sounds like she's saying she wished he were here to clear this all up. It's like, actually, I wish he were here just that way he could be breathing air, not to necessarily clear up these rumors. Although it would be cool, too.
Yes, because this sounds like some kind of assaulty allegation. You know, like, he was taken advantage of. I wish he was here to back up my story. It's like, oh God, you guys suck. You guys suck. This is terrible. So then Andy asks if there's a support group for members of Mary's church, because he's heard that. Yeah. And Lisa's like, absolutely. And Whitney says, I hear that people from her congregation, because they come up to me and they say, you have it right, Whitney.
Literally,
no one has ever come up to Whitney and said, Whitney, you have it right. I don't believe
it. Never in the history of anything. You got it right, Whitney. So so then it's like, okay, let's put this one to bed. Now let's move on.
While most housewives don't like being upstaged by a younger, cuter version of themselves, I think there's an exception if it's their own offspring.
Mm-hmm. So now we get a montage of like all the kids being cute and being silly and just being funny, which is mainly like, it's really all about Carlin. I kind of feel bad for the other kids because like Carlin's great and hilarious, but they have to throw in the other kids because the other kids are nice, but it's really about Carlin, you know? And so, so we see a lot of Carlin, and you know, Jenny says that Carlin's like that all the time. And then Andy asks Meredith,
so what's the latest with Brooks? Well, he's doing great. He is learning capital letters right now, which is great. He's about to move on from those three line books that you write into the two line ones, and he's working hard. He's finishing up at NYU.
It's gone from mashed up bananas to mashed up chicken fingers, which is, we're very proud of him. But, you know, he's going through school and he's also running a company. And finding children to iron his name onto clothes from Alibaba isn't as easy as it sounds, Andy.
He has also picked up an intense interest in aviation. At least that's as far as I can tell when I bring in the spoon of mashed potatoes and say, here comes the plane, open up the hangar.
And then Andy's face kind of falls and he's like, oh, how's Chloe? How? Which, poor Chloe, you know, no one cares. So he asks if any of the kids gave the ladies fashion advice, and Lisa's like,
oh yeah, you know, my kids tell me never leave the house looking like a Heather. Oh, I'm sorry, single woman. You know, like, don't leave the house looking like you're gonna die alone. Like Heather. I don't know why I keep saying Heather. It just keeps coming into my head.
The other day, they came crying into my room because they accidentally watched an episode of Living Single. They were horrified.
Also, I was horrified because I don't remember that being about Heather. I'm sorry.
So Andy asks Jen how Omar is. And, you know, the truth is, hates her more than ever, probably. Yeah. And he's like, did you ever decorate his locker? And she's like, oh my God, Andy, it turns out he doesn't even have a locker. Like, I went to school to decorate it, and they were like, your son doesn't even have a locker. You did not go to a school to decorate his locker. I'm just, come on. And anyone falling for this?
And let me tell you something. When we get to the end of this movie, guess where all the money's hidden? In Omar's locker that he does have. She's just saying he doesn't have a locker, so no one looks for the money.
So Andy's like, Heather, Luce from Libre says that you're trying to live vicariously through your daughter by telling her to party in college and never wear bolero jackets. What do you think of that?
You know what? It's not that I'm living vicariously. I want my daughter to be wild now, okay? And learn balance now, not when you're in your 40s. I want her to make mistakes. I want her to make horrible mistakes. Horrible, horrible mistakes right now, Andy.
And she's saying she wants her to, you know, learn to balance life and fun. And he's like, but you're doing the reverse in your life. And she's like, absolutely. Andy, I just have no balance whatsoever. And then Lisa laughs and goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, what the hell? Why are you on such good terms now? This cast is so crazy. They go for each other and then they're like,
love you. Yeah, you're doing great, Heather. You're doing great.
Well, as the saying goes, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But what happens when you can't tell who's who?
So we're now moving to the next section. And this is basically the, like, let's watch Meredith and Lisa, their friendship, like, fully just, like, whatever hope was left for it, let's watch that all just be vanquished right now.
Yes. And I just should add at this part, because in the last recap, we were talking about Heather's DUI and Lisa was accusing her of having a DUI. And I said, I just researched for hours and never found one. Well, there was one. We talked about it a little in Take a Seat last week, but there was one from like 2012. She was pulled over. She refused to take an breathalyzer test, so she was arrested, because that's how it works. And it turns out she blew like a 0.06, which, you know, isn't that bad. And she had amphetamines in her system, and later the charges were dropped. Like, she fought the charges, and it was later changed to reckless driving. So while she was pulled over, and she did have the charges were changed. So just thought I should get that in there for accuracy, because that's what everybody knows me for.
Yeah, it was actually reduced from a DUI to a DUBJ, which is driving under a bolero jacket. So ma'am, are you wearing a bolero jacket? I'm not going to answer that. Okay, we're taking you downtown.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, like you said, Meredith and Lisa.
Yes. So,
Jen, you told Lisa multiple times that Meredith wasn't a good friend to her. Why?
So Jen says, well, all I'm seeing from Lisa is this is my best friend of 10 years. And then she's just like with Mary. And then I'm like seeing that, and I'm seeing that, it's like making her upset. And I'm seeing there's tension and it's not being talked about. And Lisa's hurt. And I'm not seeing Meredith's side because she's not talking to me because she's falsely accusing me of being a bad friend. And I'm like, she's not being a good friend to you. That's what I'm saying to her. But like, no one's being a good friend to me. There's no locker. There's no locker with money in it, I swear.
And Lisa is just like clutching her water bottle and drinking it very angrily. Like, she just keeps putting it up to her mouth and back down again. And she's like, I was never heard about Meredith's relationship with Mary, actually. And then we see a clip on the Sprinter van of Lisa being like, okay, everyone, Meredith and I have to work through some stuff. You know, I don't know how she can say I like kindness, but then defend the person who's the meanest in this whole fucking crap.
But I was never hurt, Andy. So Heather's like, you were so upset about the relationship with Mary that you called her a piece of shit garbage whore. Heather's just like really like trying to get this, that she wants to talk about the hot mic incident as soon as possible. She's so excited to see these two like go at it about it. Because, you know, like Andy's going to clearly bring it up. But Heather's like, can we talk about it now? Can we talk about it now? I'm going to bring it up as many times as I can.
Yeah. Why is this a question for Heather? how is this, again, a question for Heather, you know? And Lisa's like, don't put words in my mouth, narrator! Do not put words in my mouth! And Heather's like, it's not words in your mouth, it was subtitles on a screen. And then we see a clip of that, you know? I have your back, fuck you! That fucking piece of shit, garbage whore! I fucking hate her, I hate her! She's a whore, she's my Tiffany York!
And Lisa goes, what hurt my feelings was when she said, I'm offended because, like, every time I try to express my feelings, they're quote unquote offensive.
Okay. First of all, I would like to have the attention of the court right now. I know that's not an official legal term, but I'm going to introduce that into law. First of all, to the best of my understanding, what triggered that tirade was us sitting at the table, and you and Mary had an argument, and you got upset that I didn't take your side, and you went into a rage. How could I be offended by your feelings? Okay, well, you're entitled to your feelings. I'm entitled to mine. The defense rests for a moment.
Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. You've been slowly doing, here's what you've been doing tonight, slowly. You've been pointing out situations that you feel you have had her back, and that's why you've been pointing out those situations. My case rests, Your Honor.
You aren't the judge, Andy.
I'm taking a nap.
May I ask a question very quickly? May I, Judge Andy? Okay.
Yeah.
Lisa, when your back was hurting and I took you to the joint chiropractic because I saw it on TV, specifically Real Housewives of Potomac, and your back was fixed and I paid for it all, and then you needed to be escorted to your car, so I held you gingerly from behind so your back would not get hurt again. Did I literally have your back, Lisa?
She did, Your Honor.
And then they show clips of Meredith asking her all of those questions all over again, like to prove that Andy's a brilliant mastermind, that he guessed what she was doing. So then she's like, the argument between you and Mary started when you called Mary fake. Lisa's mouth. This is huge open mouth.
Yeah, and she goes, and she took off on you as well, and both of you were vicious to each other. Heather's like, excuse me, would the court recognize that they both were horrible to each other?
If you think I'm going to get in the middle of that vicious, disgusting, repulsive, and repugnant behavior, then you are out of your mind. And Lisa's like,
well, the argument started with Mary because I was defending Jenny. Jenny. Because she was attacking Jenny.
Now, I think this is also important to mention, by the way. Yeah, like, Mary was, quote-unquote, attacking Jenny. Let's not forget the full context, which is that Mary was actually sitting there quietly, and Whitney was like, Mary, do you like Jenny or whatever? Like, they provoked her, and Mary was like, no, I don't. And then Jenny goes, well, you can leave. So, like, I don't think that Mary was attacking Jenny as much as just like, okay, I guess we're in a fight now, because they were the ones who fully provoked that moment.
Yes. And Andy's like, well, it seems like a huge barrier in your friendship with Lisa's friendship with Jen. And Meredith does her big fake tear. Oh, because Meredith has a monologue where she's like, it's incomprehensible that expressing my feelings upset was enough to trigger, well, nothing could trigger that kind of tirade. I've never spoken to anyone like that. Nonetheless, someone I profess to be sisters, family, friends for 10 years, never.
Well, it seems like a huge barrier in your friendship was Lisa's friendship with Jen. And Meredith goes, well, even starting at the Shabbat dinner I had, I need another tissue, please.
So then Meredith is now like really sobbing. She's really sobbing hard, and she's saying how, like, basically losing her father was really hard, and she feels like she's like, you know, she says that Lisa hurt her really badly because she called Lisa 3 days before her dad died and said, my father's dying, and Lisa never called her back. And then Lisa called back 2 days later, I'm sorry. She didn't call back 2 days later. 2 days after he died, Meredith had to call Lisa to say that he died. And then she invited Lisa to Shabbat dinner. And then all that Lisa wanted to do was attack me about being friends with Jen.
And then it cuts to Jen hiding behind that purple plant that she's wearing. Just like her face, like giving a soap opera look. And Meredith is saying, I just needed a moment to grieve and you let me down. And Lisa's like,
oh, Anda, I definitely called Meredith back and I was there in that moment.
She goes, 2 days after he died and I called you 3 days before to tell you he was dying.
And you just see Whitney, like numbers flying around Whitney's head. I'm like,
the train got to San Francisco in 4 hours.
You're right, Whitney. You got it right, Whitney.
It's Mary's followers passing by.
It's just like a beautiful mind, except there's only like one digit floating around her.
It's SpaghettiOs. It's just random letters.
Just squiggles and emojis. So Lisa's like, I checked on you. I always check on you. And then Heather, of course, is like, well, Meredith, my dad had passed away and she texted me and said, I hope your dad is feeling better. So are we all allowed to pile on this very sad situation? Because I just did.
After he died? And she goes, the day after he had passed, Andy. And Lisa's like, I didn't know he'd passed. Heather, A, this is not about you. Oh, my God, be quiet. And second of all, I think that's nice. Like, you just proved that Lisa calls to check in on people, actually. I mean, I 1 day after he died, how the fuck is she supposed to know?
Yeah,
you know,
not
she's
close.
Probably got your group text muted, you know?
Yeah.
So she probably doesn't know. You're not close with her. And she actually texted you to ask you how your father is doing. So thanks for proving her point, weirdo.
And so Lisa's like, I was there for you, Meredith. I was 100% there for you. And Andy just goes, sounds like you weren't. She goes, well, I'm sorry for being a horrible, horrible human being. Love that. Don't love that, actually.
Yeah. Lisa, I sent you a text. I said, I have things going on. She goes, can I see that text? And she goes, I will show you in a moment if you let me speak.
And Lisa just goes, wow, wow, wow.
Well, I sent you a text and I said, if you love my family, please stand up for it. I'm in immense pain. I'm suffering daily. What you decide is right for you. I will always respect it, but I'm asking for a friend. And I've gone through what no one else should ever go through. I'm hurting. I love you. I'm in extreme pain and I feel alone. And Lisa's like,
I.
And those were things you had to say about me after that.
I was there for you, your father.
And Andy just gets really calm and he's like,
but she's, it's not landing with her. You see, it's not landing.
And Lisa goes,
well, it's landing with me. So, Meredith.
I'm glad what Lisa's saying is landing with herself.
So Lisa's like, listen, I hear what you're saying about your dad, and I'm sorry. I hear it. You know, there's a lot coming at me right now.
There's a lot of things landing on me, basically. There's many, many planes landing on me right now.
My name has actually been changed to O'Hare because I've got everything landing on me right now. I'm basically a hub for many airlines, okay? Everything's landing.
And she's just so caught up, you know, and like kind of freaking out. And Heather's laughing. And Whitney just laughs and then smiles at the audience. Like there's a whole audience there that she's like, yes, audience.
That one's for you, balcony.
So Andy's like, okay, let me jump ahead. Heather, are you ready? It's the moment you've been waiting for.
In a season of jaw-dropping moments, this was at the top. Okay, so let me read the transcript. Lisa, you say, Meredith can go fuck herself. I'm done with her because I'm not a fucking whore. And I don't cheat on my husband. Her and her dumb family that poses. And by the way, yes, I will be reading this whole thing. Because you can't. Because your husband changes jobs every 5 minutes.
That's a lot, Andy. That's a lot.
And Meredith is Did you get through the whole thing?
No, I was going to try. I thought I would just pass off the other half to you because...
Girl, I didn't like, write that long. Shit down. Oh. I had had it. I've had it.
I mean, we all heard it. We all heard it. I don't even have to do it all over. But just funny because Andy reads the whole thing and we see like a triple split screen. And he just like reads it all in this like slow and clinical way where you just... It's just like just the words, there's no, you don't have any of the rage behind it. So you're just are really focused on the words and how hurtful they are. It's just like,
piece of shit, garbage, whore. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So Lisa's like, that's a lot. And Meredith wants to say something about it, of course. Well, the content is absurd. I mean, if you feel that way about me, that's fine.
It's not the way I feel.
Well, none of it's true.
Yeah.
But the venom and hatred that came with resonate. I had to stop watching. It took me an hour to get through that. It made me sick. It made me sick.
I'm tempted to say the word revolting, but I won't. I will merely just say utterly sick. And you wouldn't go when Jen, your good friend, was arrested with federal charges and needed a friend and called you and called you and called you from the deepest pits of jail. It wasn't on jail, it was a waiting room. Whatever. You said you didn't return her call because she yelled at you when your kids were in the car and they heard the horrible, that was for you, Heather, horrible things they said about you. Well, how do you think my toddler felt sitting in his little baby seat trying to have some Gerber baby food when he heard all the things you said about me? And how do you think the rest of the world felt when they heard it on worldwide television?
I was packing my stuff by myself. It was a blind rage rant. Doesn't count.
And Andy's like, yeah, you said a lot. Seemed like a truth dump. Okay. Do you think she's a whore? Do you think she's fucked half of New York? Hey, no. And do you ever see the other half that I fucked? I mean, like, how many halves are fucking people on Bravo? It's like the entire city of New York, actually, is fucked people on Bravo.
You know what, Andy? I'm really glad you asked that. Like, Meredith, do I think you've slept with 4.2 million people? No. 4.1? Maybe.
So Meredith is saying, well, I've only slept with as many people as I have fingers, so there you go. And Whitney's like,
oh, since I'm a pot stirrer, since the shoe fits, wear it. What? She said that to everybody else too. Before that.
I did not.
Well, I'm sure she did.
Goldfish mouth.
I did not.
So then Whitney is basically trying to cast next season. She goes, Meredith, you should call Sarah Jane Warner.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. But you know what? I feel like the fact that they did not bleep out Sarah Jane Warner's name means that we will see her next season.
Sarah Jane, we've already seen her. She's the one who, yes, she's one of the blondes.
Oh,
I think it was on earlier.
She was like one showing Jen her like new one bedroom house or something.
Yeah, I think so. And she was one of the ones on the show who was accused of being one of the Capital Six people.
She was?
I thought that was the other girl. Now that I read on Reddit, so I don't have any links or anything. That's just the rumors about her. So I have no idea if that's true.
Every friend of on the show, I can never remember which rumor bucket do they belong on. One bucket is they were part of the original cast of Salt Lake City before it was recast. One bucket is that they stormed the Capitol. And one bucket is basically their children hate them. So I can never remember which bucket anyone is in.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Angie had said that she was going to send her son's response to stuff, you know, to rumors that were out there, but she never sent them to us. I never got them in the email. Well, she sent them on Instagram, but I think you had read it, and so, you know, they don't stay up there.
Stay up. Yeah, but there was,
right, like, so I asked her to send us an email. Did she send it to us
on Gmail? Maybe, I don't know. I mean, we've been traveling. This is like our pattern. We say inflammatory stuff about Angie, and then she's like, guys. And then she, like, corrects us. And then we have to
she was very nice about it, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think she ever actually sent it to the email. So, Angie, if you're listening, send it to me. I'll read it.
I still want her to be on the show. I don't understand. I feel like there's so much discussion about Angie. Why is she not on the show? So, anyway, Lisa goes,
well, I have never talked about your marriage, and I'm sorry it was caught on video.
I like that she's sorry that it was caught on video. I'm not sorry that she said it, although she says sorry later a million times.
Listen, no, she doesn't. She never says sorry, right?
Like, were my words horrible? Yes. Was I at my breaking point? Yes. Was I in the privacy of my own room when I could not take anymore? Yes. Am I sorry? 1,000%. I cannot say how sorry I am, but it's your fault. It's your fault.
Now, of course, by the way, Lisa saying that she was alone in the privacy of her own room is probably going to come under speculation, because when this all happened, there were a lot of like still shots of being like, look, there's a boom inside there, or like there's a producer.
There was a person. Yeah, there was a guy in there. So
that doesn't mean anything, to be honest. Like, not to be a total defender of this, you know, when we hear her, they could very easily just play that over footage of her coming out of a door. So that doesn't mean anything, but yeah.
I think it does. I mean, you're in product, you're not alone. I mean, you know, you're on TV and you've got a producer in the room and you've got your mic. But she's saying, I was in such a blind rage, I didn't even realize the mic, think there was or something.
A producer in there personally.
Yeah, I do. But yeah, you saw like the reflection in the mirror. I think there was a producer, and that maybe there was a boom, because she had said earlier on Twitter, like, that was a boom that caught all of that. But then we see her handing her mic off. So your mic was actually there with you when you were saying it all. So duh, your mic was still on. You think the minute it stops being on your body that it's turned off? Like, I'm confused.
Meredith, I can't say it enough how sorry I am that the McRib is done for the year. I am so sorry that I missed that. But big picture, okay? It took a lot to get there for me emotionally too, okay? It didn't just happen that night. It was a buildup of things that I felt devastated by. And for the last year, I felt rejected by you. And because, like, you keep saying, like, you're seeking out a friendship with Jen. You're seeking out a friendship with Jen.
So basically, Lisa saying, like, I'm so sorry I said these terrible things, but by the way, you're the one who made me do it. Because you were mad at me being friends with Jen.
And she's like, yeah, but Meredith says, yeah, but you attacked me for being friends with Heather and Whitney ad nauseum for hours and hours on end. And Lisa's,
I think that,
like,
by the way, I think that happened after, I think that was a reaction, if I remember correctly, to Meredith being mad at Lisa for being friends with Jen, right?
Well, I'm sure Lisa has never liked that she's friends with Whitney and Heather, you know? I think it's probably been a thing since the beginning. And Lisa's like, well, I was trying to make you understand, like, why is it okay for you to be friends with Heather and Whitney, but not me with John? And why is it okay for Heather and Whitney to be friends with John, but not me? Like, you can be friends with everyone, but I have parameters.
Yeah.
I mean, she kind of has a point, but Meredith is just saying, I don't want to be friends with Jen. She never said you couldn't be friends with Jen. She was saying, stop trying to make me be friends with Jen. So yeah. Your point is,
well,
done.
Meredith had said, like, well, Meredith was, it's a little wishy-washy, because Meredith was like, you can be friends with whoever you want, but just know that if you're friends with Jen, I'm not going to trust you as much anymore. So she was like, yeah, be friends with her, but just know that it's going to affect our friendship, right? Which is sort of like, not quite the same as being like, be friends with whoever you want. There's like, there was a parameter on it. Then Jen, of course, is like, hold on a second. Here's what part of the problem. Your delivery for an apology. This is coming from me, Jen Shaw. And I'm telling you, you got to be a little softer. Okay, Lisa, you're really fucking this up.
Oh God, Jen. Jen somehow coming across as the best one. I mean, she is amazing. Good. Right? You know, I've got to hand it to her again. She is good. So Lisa's like, you know what? I'm sorry this is a group setting and I have to say it in front of everybody, you know? Like, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry it's out there. I'm sorry it's out there. And Heather says, are you sorry you said it, or are you sorry you got caught?
And she goes, I'm not sorry I got caught. And Heather goes, I believe you said things like that, but every single one of us. Which, by the way, that's not a bombshell, because I'm sure everyone has talked so much shit about everyone on this cast, because that's what you do. And so Heather, Lisa's like, no, I've not. I absolutely not. And she goes, well, I know you've said it about Jen. I know you've said it about me. And I know you've said it about Whitney. And I feel like you think we're going to crucify you for this one moment. I'm like, I wonder why she thinks she's going to get crucified. Is it because she's being actively crucified as we speak?
Yeah, but deservedly, this is also, you know, that's a, yeah, I mean, I think she's wrong, but also Heather built it up to be this, you know, and at that dinner when this happened, Heather had been going for Lisa to go for Meredith all day. She literally made her promise at one point, like, you're gonna talk to Meredith tonight, right? Mm-hmm. About everything we talked about today. So Heather's been like pushing this up, and then she was cheering Lisa on when Lisa was losing her fucking mind the whole night, and now she's like, oh, that was just terrible. And she says it was like a Scooby-Doo episode where the mask is ripped off, but now we can deal with it. But Scooby-Doo, those people, the mask ripped off, the Scooby-Doo gang didn't just hang out with that person. I'm like,
you don't
keep
know.
Keep shooting.
You don't know, Ronnie.
They found a new terrible person every week.
So Lisa is like, you know what? I'm not going to engage with this. I'm just going to go back to my talking points. And so she's like, when it came to your father, I was 100% there for you by not being there for you. Okay. And I talked to you about the memorial and I was there for you. I checked in on you all the time, Meredith. I liked a few things on your Instagram. So that shows I was there for you.
And so Andy asked Whitney, he's like, what was it like to see the breakdown of this friendship? Did you feel bad about it? And Lisa goes, no. Whitney's like, yes, because if they truly had this deep of a friendship, like 10 years just thrown away in a moment, I think we all saw it coming, though. But this was a slow, slow build. I put one brick. Then Heather put another brick. Then I put another brick. Then Heather put... I got it.
I'm on fire. So...
Ow! Lisa started me on fire.
So Lisa's like, so why did you tell me, Heather, that you don't feel like Meredith's my friend after horseback riding? So Heather's saying that everything that you were just saying, Ronnie, was about mending their friendship. That's what she would care about.
Oh, right. Because they show this clip of them at the horseback riding where Heather's like, you know, I just feel for you because I really have just noticed that Meredith really isn't ever there for you, you know? And I just feel for you. And Lisa goes, I feel for me too.
I could use a little bit more. So Heather's like, listen, you know, if I had said that, if I had said like, you know, I was trying to mend, if I had said like, oh, she's like, it's a sucky friend or whatever, it would have been on TV. Like, that would be good TV. And Heather's like, you know, I had never felt for Lisa. Like, the reason why she's explaining why all of a sudden she was being nice to Lisa. And she's like, I had never felt for Lisa. I'd never had any compassion for her. And, you know, I honestly don't think that Meredith has shown up for Lisa in the same way, you know, that, like, for instance, I blindly show up for this one, Jen Cha, who's been horrible to me. Horrible. And Jen's like, you don't have to keep on saying it. Horrible. Absolutely horrible to me.
Also funny because at the beginning when Jen was like, you don't have to say, you know, like, despite it being controversial to be Jen's friend, I mean, Heather never says that. And Heather's like, well, I'm her friend even though she's been horrible to me.
But not controversial, just horrible.
But I think where Heather is right, because Heather was totally, you know, pitting them against each other. She has been since the beginning of the season, you know. But she is right when she's like, Lisa, you can't apologize properly. Like, you're totally caught. Like, you cannot defend the shit that is actually on camera, Lisa. And Lisa's like, I'm not defending it. I'm explaining it because I've been a great friend for 10 years. And that one moment, like, everyone's going to crucify me. Like, what do you want? Do you want me to cut my breasts? Do you want me to cut my wrist? Fresh blood. Okay.
I am being myself right now, and that's the problem. I'm shutting the fuck down because everyone wants to break me all the time. I'm done with that. Okay, I'm done with that. And Jen's like, you don't have to be this strong person, because their favorite thing on all the Housewives shows is to break someone and make them cry, and then they tell, and whoever's crying, they say, you don't have to be strong all the time. You don't have to be strong all the time. Cry. That's all they want.
It happens in every one of them. It's so funny. And Lisa goes, I do. I do, though. That's what you don't understand.
None of us are perfect. Some of us are horrible. And Lisa goes, I don't think I'm perfect. And I'm so sick of people saying that to me. I am so sick of people saying to me how perfect I am, how flawless
everything I do is how I just am so wonderful in so many different ways. I am almost an image of perfection. I'm so sick of people telling that to me all the time.
Can I give you some advice?
Oh, please give me some advice, Wetmer.
In these moments, stop talking and reach for a fire extinguisher if you're on fire.
Your friend is devastated. Just be quiet.
No, fuck that. I mean, you guys are literally accusing. And by the way, I think they're accusing her of real stuff. But she has a right to be pissed off. It's like, just be quiet. If Meredith is saying that she never called or checked on her and she's saying she did, I mean, that's a pretty big thing. I don't think that she did, though. I don't think she checked
on her. I think... My favorite thing that we do, Ronnie, is that we like make a very like impassioned argument and then we are like, but I don't believe that argument I just said. But
oh, because after a whole season of Housewives, things change back and forth so much. By the end, I really don't know what to think. I've got like scrambled egg brains.
I actually think that Whitney is correct in this situation. I think that maybe Lisa is not a great listener and she doesn't hear things properly or something. And so she just doesn't remember correctly, which I think happens with like a lot of these housewives, but no one ever wants to fess up that they may have, you know, remembered something incorrectly. And I think Whitney's correct. Like, Lisa, you're not, this is all looking bad for Lisa, regardless of whether she's in the right or it's looking bad. And she just needs to be quiet and just like regroup and let people blow off their steam and feel like they are being heard. And she's not letting people feel like they're being heard right now. And my therapist always says the most important thing is you got to make sure people feel like they're being heard. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I didn't hear any of that. No, I'm just kidding. So then Andy does the typical thing where he's like, where is this friendship going? And Lisa does her, you know, I'm sorry thing. I hope we can repair it. And Meredith says, well, I just saw this less than 48 hours ago. And as you say, Lisa, I am processing. I am devastated.
I hate to throw a 10-year friendship out the window. And Lisa's like, I know, I'm sure you're devastated. I could not fathom someone speak about me that way. And Lisa's like, well, I caused that devastation and I take full responsibility of it until in about 5 minutes when I will actually like maybe walk that back and blame it on someone else.
But then Meredith straightens up and she's like, well, my question is if you did it intentionally, mind. And Heather's like, yeah, I mean, why did you take your mic off and then throw it at the audio guy? And she goes, well, you know, when I realized it was on. And they're like, bullshit, bullshit. Yeah. But at the same time, why would she purposely leave the mic on if it kind of ruined her by them putting that on TV? You know what I mean?
Well, unless the plan was that she just wanted to say these things under the guise of like, you know, like this way she could say, I didn't realize I was attacking you, or I don't know. So Andy is like, well, I want to know.
But at least people will look into the facts. Like, she's a whore who slept with half of New York City.
Yeah, she wanted to put it out there. So Andy is like,
what, Meredith, what did you mean at the finale when you said that you will expose who everyone slept with?
And she's like, well, they know who they are and they know what they've done. And maybe I know, and maybe I know about this one and this one about that and that about this and that. And I know what you did last summer, so I'm tired of it. So stop attacking me. Stop weaponizing my father's death against me and stop making up rumors like I turned Jen into the FBI. Leave me alone. I need to teach my son how to put a square peg in a square hole.
Well, basically, you're threatening everyone is what you're doing. And she goes, well, I mean, I'm just saying I have information and I can use it against you or I cannot use it against you. Well, that's a threat.
Pretty much, I guess so.
Well, there was some kind of rumor that Meredith and Jen were seeing the same guy at some point. Well, like I said earlier, I haven't dated anyone. Emphasis on dated. Anyone other than my husband for well over 2 years. I can't speak for Jen, but one thing I can speak for is my son, who wishes to say goodnight, moon,
good night, room. Good night, bed. Good night, stars, etc.
So she's like, well, you can speak to Jen about her truth. And Jen goes, yeah, that's not true. And so they start talking about how there's crazy rumors. And of course, Lisa really can't help herself. She goes, yeah, there's so many things. Like, people say things all the time. I mean, look, I heard that Jen hooked up with Meredith in a steakhouse. I mean, it's just crazy, the things you hear. It's like, nice getting that one out on national television, Lisa.
I know. And Meredith just shrugs and goes, well, there's tons of stuff, and some has more evidence attached to it than others. And Andy goes, okay, we're just going to leave it there.
So they're going to try and take a break, right? But then Lisa comes and sits next to Meredith again. And, you know, they've cut, well, supposedly. And Lisa asks her if they can talk. And she's like, I don't think we can talk, Lisa, off camera. We're in the middle of a whole thing that's on camera. Okay.
Yeah. And she's like, no. I just want to come over to you and say, I am beyond sorry. I am sorry. I'm not breaking right now because I'm holding things together because I am beyond sorry. And I did not ever mean to hurt you. And I understand that hurting you so much, I hurt you and Seth and Brooks and those other two people that are, I think are your children.
Well, actually, I only have two children, and also you said things about my whole family, not just me, Lisa. And she goes,
yeah, but it's because somebody told me that you were making fun of my renovation at the time, and that really upset me.
Out of nowhere, renovations. Yeah,
she's like, what? What would I say about your renovation, Lisa?
You said I live in a shitty house.
Oh, I didn't talk about your house, Lisa.
Well, that's what I was told.
Oh. So if you have an ugly house, you should rip my character to shreds. Okay, wonderful. You know what I'm going to say to that? Hashtag revolting. Hashtag insulting. Hashtag walking away.
And that brings us to the end of Salt Lake City. And, you know, it's interesting because Miami, which we're about to recap the Miami reunion, also has a I heard things that you said about my renovation fight.
Wait, which one was that? Because I watched Miami a few days ago, so I literally cannot remember who had that renovation fight.
You're going to just have to listen to Watch What Crappens recap.
That's
how about
a great
that,
teaser.
Ben?
Yeah.
You better tune into your own recap later to hear all about it.
I better tune into the words I'm about to say out of my mouth.
Everyone, thank you so much for being here. We love you guys. Go get your tickets for Crappens Live coming very soon to Philly.
Yeah,
Philly, other places. I don't have the list right in front of me.
The ones next week are Philly, DC, and Pittsburgh. And I don't think there are many tickets left for DC, but there's still tickets at Philly and Pittsburgh. And then we have plenty more after that. But those are the ones that are most pressing.
Yes, and we'll see you guys on Take a Seat Tonight, Spotify Green Room app, and go get your merch over at Crappens Merch. Go get you some Trixie Monocle World Tour t-shirts. Mm. And we love you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Courtney Shamazing Shardell.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels. Dana C.
Dana Do. Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClellan.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica 500 Days of Summers. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo,
Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Capsewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.